Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Take your Bibles, if you will, and open to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Joshua is a great book. I like it because it's a book of victory. I like to read about victory. Amen. And it was victory not given. It was victory earned. They had to go through and literally battle these folks that were in the land that God promised. He could have just wiped them out, but he chose little by little to, as they would battle, as they would obey him, God chose them to give them the promised land. And in this portion of scripture, they come to the end of it, and they're getting their inheritance. And two people show up that, one's the author, Joshua, you notice that? Joshua and Caleb, and we're mainly featuring on Caleb today. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about what's commented on Caleb, and I think, oh, well, what's Joshua? And then I realized, well, he's the author of this. God used him to pin this down. And these two had a different spirit. And if we look at other verses, if you're taking notes, I don't encourage you to turn there, but I encourage you to write it down. It's Numbers 14:21. This is a comment about Caleb. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him. That other spirit, what it was saying is that was why he got to go into the promised land. Now, the Hebrews were freed in a miraculous way. And got out of Egypt, and then they came to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted, and the Egyptians followed them through there, and when the Hebrews got through, but the Egyptians, the sea closed on, and they saw the demise of those that tried to destroy them. Caleb witnessed all that, and Caleb saw that, and then Caleb saw what it was like to traveling, and God providing for them, came to the promised land. And as he entered into it, they sent 12 spies in to check out the promised land. And 10 of them brought bad report back. And Caleb and Joshua said, let's go in. Let's go in and take them. They're nothing, you know. We can go in there and whoop them easy. And they're about to stone them, about to kill them for those words. And anyway, then it ended up because of their lack of faith. They said, you know, their children would be destitute and their children would be, you know, consumed by those people in that land. The only ones that got to go in the end, after 40 years wandering wilderness, were their children. Their children went in and conquered, and that's what we're reading portions of today. It was their children that finally got to go. And two other people went in as well, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Well, time passes here in their lives. This was 40 years ago. And so he was about 40 years old, and 40 years in the wilderness. He's 80. We're going to find him. We're going to pick up today. He's 85 in this story today that we're picking up. So a lot of time has passed. Difficulties in his life has passed. So I've taken that and thought about it. And we're going to cover 85 years of his life in just a few moments this morning. And just think about it. Ponder about the decisions that Caleb made at different segments of his life. The verse, our text, is Joshua 14. And verse 12, if you'd stand with me, please. Joshua 14, verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, maybe find someone that does. If you would, look around, share the scripture with somebody so they can look on the Word of God and read. I'll read out loud and you follow along with me today, if you would, please. Joshua 14, verse 12 says this. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us today. Once again, you give us utterance that would be pleasing to thee, our God. Help us. Open up these minds. Keep them alert and attentive. Keep our heart and spirit awake. Quicken us to your truths today and embed them deep in our heart, our Father, that we would not be able to get away from the importance of the message today, we pray. We ask for your help of utterance. Use the vehicle called words that you've given us to, God, instill great things in our being today, we pray. We ask it all in Jesus' wonderful, great name. Amen. You may be seated. That verse reads on there in Joshua 14, verse 13. It says, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Well, you know, the Bible says there, if you look at that last line of verse 14, it says, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And so Caleb was a sold out man of God. Now, as we think about history, we think about the Jews' history that we follow. You know, most of the Old Testament is all about the Jews. And actually it's following the Jews through their birth and through battles and through difficulties, showing us what God likes, what God dislikes. He judges them for, chastens them for. And so we have them as an example all the way through the Old Testament. So it follows them. So it's a very Jewish Old Testament. The Jews put age in this category. Between 60 and 70, we commence old age. Between 60s and 70. How many are commencing old age? Between 60s and 70s. And between 70 and 80, gray-headed age. Well, I beat that. You know, between 70 and 80, it's called the gray-headed age for the Jews. And then 80 and up is what's called, referred to as well-stricken in years. 80 and up, well-stricken in years. You know, Caleb had a spirit about him. I just read the verse. I didn't have you turn to it, but Numbers, Joshua bore witness that Caleb had another spirit in him. God, actually, as Moses bore witness, that he had another spirit. I mean, he didn't have like the ten who gave a bad report. Him and Joshua, there was something different about them where they were trusting God, knowing that it's God that brings the victory. And it wasn't man's muscle. It was going to be God through them. And so they were trusting in God. The same God that David trusted when he ran out and fought Goliath and ran towards the giant who was a man trained from birth to fight and to kill. That was his upbringing. And here comes a little ruddy shepherd boy come running out with a slingshot, not a sword, a slingshot and five rocks. And one person said, you know, he had five rocks. He had one in his sling. He took on Goliath. He had four others. We find later in the scripture, Goliath had four brothers, just in case they stepped out that day, I guess. David was ready. But he was trusting in God to win the victory that day. It wasn't that David had trust in himself. It was David's God that he was trusting in. And we see Caleb, we see his contrast of faithfully, wholly following the Lord all of his life. And I think about America. You know, how many have ever gotten your Social Security and it tells you what time you retire? Mine says I can take partial retirement when I'm 62, and then I can take full retirement when I'm 70. Some of you, that's going to say 80. You're going to have to come back to heaven to retire or be called up from somewhere else. But, I don't know, they keep moving the age up on folks. But, most America dreams about retirement. And they want to retire, and then they, want to live 20 years on somewhere south, close by the ocean, and just the right place, and that's pretty much the dream. And then the later years, when they get in their later years, they want to find a nice retirement center somewhere to be at. And they don't have to mow their lawn, they don't have to take care of everything, and everything is just great. That's pretty much the American dream. And I want to encourage you that we've created that dream, but that might not be the dream that God has for you. That might not be the end of the things that the Lord has for you. Caleb did not have that spirit. He did not have a spirit at over 80 years old that this is it. We've just read about him, what kind of spirit he had in his 80s. He's willing to go up and he's willing to battle the Anakims. You know, the Anakims, they lived on a mountainous terrain. Now, I'm smart enough to know this. Those mountains get higher the older you get. I'm even saying, man, those mountains get higher. And here's a man in his 80s and he wants to climb up that mountain and he wants to fight the Anakims. Who are the Anakims? Well, the Anakims are these short, little guys. Kick them around. No, they're giants. And they're six-fingered and six-toed giants. And so the idea, when a guy grabs a sword with six fingers, that's something else. wraps around, I don't know the feet, I guess better stability. But, they have that. There were giants to fight. Well, everybody was fear. Those 10 spies saw them, and they were ready to, we're getting out of here. But that's not the spirit of Caleb. Caleb, poor guy, you know, he's too big to miss. That was David's attitude. You'll think about it later, you'll get it. Goliath thought David was so little he was going to flick him like a fly, and David thought, I can explain my jokes every time. David thought, that poor guy, I can't miss him, he's so big. Still don't have that good a joke. Oh, yeah. But anyway, we move on. That's the spirit that Caleb had. And I was thinking about Caleb's different age. And I think about, you know, he made a decision. It says he wholly followed the Lord. And let's take Caleb when he was young. What is he when he's young? What does his name mean? Anybody here named Caleb? I know we had one the other day. Caleb, okay. Caleb, you know what your name means? It means dog. That's what it means. It means dog. And, you know, and so the reason is because he grew up a slave. Caleb grew up a slave. And, you know, they were underneath the Egyptian bondage and the slavery. And, you know, it was a grinding task to be underneath the Egyptians like that. And Caleb was just, you know, he was little. He couldn't have been very big. And maybe nobody thought much would ever happen of Caleb. And his life would be very terrible, you know. And they named him Caleb, just a dog for the Egyptians. Now I want you to know that Caleb today is a very honorable name. Probably your parents, when they named you Caleb, they thought, we're going to name him a great man's name. We're going to give him a name that he can be proud of. But I want you to know, the man that made Caleb proud was Caleb that we're reading about. He turned a dishonorable name into honor. And it started when he was young. He was very young. Because, you know, there come a time that somebody walked into the Hebrews, and his name was Moses, and he said, you know what? I've God sent me here to free you. Well, they wondered about that through the first 9 plagues. And boy, you know, at first they were kind of, you know, they were happy about hearing the news of Moses coming to free them, but it didn't look like Moses was winning. And there was times they were about to stone Moses with his message of deliverance. But you know what? Caleb hung in there. Caleb was one of those people that fastened his wagon to Moses and the truth that Moses brought, and trusted what his message was. And you know, Caleb would never be one of those that say it couldn't be done. Even as a young lad, Caleb tied in with God's man and hooked his wagon to God's man. And become the person that God wanted to be. See, it wouldn't say he wholly followed. All through his life, we're following him. We have to start off as a young guy. What was he doing? As a young guy, he determined to serve God as a young person. You know, I couldn't help to think about that. He had a great determination in his heart to serve God, to go with God's people, to believe what God's man said about freeing them. And he experienced it. Can you imagine those plagues? You know, Caleb experienced that. He had to be in awe of God working those great plagues out. Right down to, you know, they're going out, and it looks like, you know, it looks like the Hebrews, they don't know what they're doing, because they ran into an area where they're bumped right up against the sea, and the Egyptian army took pride, you know, they can't escape. Let's go get them. I don't know why we freed them. Let's go get them. And just as they were coming, something happens. They never witnessed it before. And that's kind of small compared to what it is. It's a Shekinah glory in a pillar of fire that protected them and held, and you know, until the Red Sea opened up. And the Red Sea opened up, and they went across on dry land. And you know, I've got to tell you, I mean, that would be a day to see. If you ever just put yourself in that situation, I mean, put yourself as a little guy walking through there. I mean, I couldn't help. I mean, would you feel the water? Would you want to see? Would you see something in there? Would you see shadows of things swimming by? You know, and would you be in awe? I mean, the wind, it says the wind dried up. So the wind had to be just, you know, great through there, just blowing. It had to be some adventure of crossing that Red Sea that day. And then to come out, and then here, you know, the Egyptians, they knew they were there, but they couldn't follow them. And they get all the way across, and then bang, the cloud goes down, and it lets the Egyptians in. The Egyptians start crossing over, and all of them get in there, and they watch sea close in on them and drown them all. wow. Caleb had to be just, wow, in awe. And Caleb experienced God's hand on his people and God freeing that power as a young guy. You know, and we're reading about him. We're reading about him today. He's in his 80s. And it's saying that he holy follower. So from the time he was little right on through, I just wanted to mention that because he determined as a young guy. And later on, you know, Caleb, Moses, as he hooked with Moses and as he was dedicated to the man that God brought him, you know, they moved him aside. And did he not follow Joshua the same? Was he not? And so, you know, now, but that's 80 years later. I think that's quite interesting that he hooked. He's still with God's people is what I'm saying. He's hooked his wagon to the things of God, and he's wholly following them. And I think about, in just thinking about that, I think about our young people today, and I say we need to have some young people that hook their wagon to the things of God and stay at it and go for the long run, go for the finish line. Life is not over. Life is just beginning. But here's Caleb, a young man hooked to the things of God. I mean, he is attached strong to the things of God. You know, how many of you were saved out of a wicked life? Let me see your hand. You were saved out of a wicked life. I want to tell you something, Brother Ted. It took a lot of grace for God to save you. It took a lot of blood to wash away your sin. Who else had their hand up here? I know. Boy, this, look at this. Here's what this guy told me one day. We're sitting right here. He told me, he said, for God, he said, you know what I am? He said, how many have seen a parade? How many have seen a parade? How many have seen the horses? He's the guy following the horses with a scooper in the bucket. You know, and he said, that's what he said, God's grace saved him though, amen? It took a lot of grace to save him, to forgive him, the blood of Christ to save him, forgive him. But I want to tell you something, listen to this. Young people, listen to this. You know, I want to tell you something, Noah. It takes a lot more power to keep you out of sin than it does to forgive you once you get into sin. I mean, from the time that you're young to the time you're 80 years old, you stay out of sin. What if this man could stand and say, you know, I never took a drink. I never smoked any pot. I never cheated on my wife. What if that young man comes to 80 years old? You think it's going to take some determination right now to do that? Amen. I'll tell you, it takes more power of God to present somebody like that than it does for us that have been forgiven later in our sin. Thank God we can get forgiven. Amen. It doesn't mean that Noah's not going to get into sin. But I'll tell you what, we could have a testimony 80 years from now, and we can thank God for somebody that instilled something in him. It'll never happen unless he hooks his wagon to some things of God in his life. He's going to have to make his own decision somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. We're responsible for ourselves. Everybody can have an excuse why they won't serve God. We need some young people today that's going to hook their wagons. I mean, they're going to hook their wagons to God, and they're going to say, you know what? I'm going to wholly serve God. You know, that means there's going to be disappointments. There's going to be people let you down. But if you can stand from now, I'm telling you, that is a powerful, powerful testimony. You know, I've been in services where preachers say, you know what? Hey, Brother Allen, you know, I pick on you. And if I'm wrong, you're in trouble. Brother Allen, have you ever been drunk? Have you ever had a drink of liquor? Have you ever smoked a cigarette? You know what? I say thank God for that. We say, oh, he doesn't know. He's not missing out. He looks like he's really missing out and suffering. You know, I'll tell you, and we need that today because we're not getting any examples in the world. They're not there. The only place you're going to get them is God's people. If we don't begin to take it serious, how can we expect our young people to take it serious? I'm just telling you, Caleb was among them. Caleb saw failure. Caleb saw people who trashed God. Caleb saw people who let up on God. And somehow he had the spirit inside of him. Moses said it was another spirit. He had a determination about him. You know what? I believe this thing about God. I'm sticking with God. That was his determination. In order for that to be recorded that he wholly followed him through those years, I'm telling you what, there's something about Caleb. So, let's take him. We know that he went out. He was a young man, and we know that he went out with out from slavery and free under Moses and traveled with Moses. We know that Caleb came to the promised land. We know that he was one of them that came in a time where they were about to go in and take over the land. And we know that he was one of the 12. And he went in there and he come out and he's, I'm gonna say that he's 40 years old. He's 40 years old. So, you know, no. Let's see. We'll just say that. And so let's put him in that category. And so he's going in, he's coming out, and he is just cranked up. Let's go get him. Let's go get him. And he's fighting the other 10, you know, and they're saying, let's get out of here. You know, I call it get out of Dodge, but you have to watch Gunsmoke to know what that is. You know, and so, you know, here you're going to get out of Dodge. You're leaving. You're moving out. Not Caleb. Let's go get him. Boy, now's the time, you know. Let's go get him. Well, because we're not talking about 10 people that they talked in. They talked million people or more into this. We can't go in and take them. Are you following me? I mean, they talked thousands of people into we can't go in. And these two held strong. And God said, you know what? Your faith, you're going to go in. But think about it. You think about what's happening. Because for 40 years, Caleb's among a walking cemetery. Isn't that right? For 40 years, because here he is, you know, he's traveling, but, you know, none of those guys, God said, not one of you that didn't want to go, you know what, you're not going to go in. And for 40 years, you know, kind of got in the old habit, a grind, if you'd say. Think about for 40 years. What are you doing? Well, you know, did it not get even, you know, they get manna every day? You know, now, everybody in their grind, you know, they got manna every day. God's taking care of them supernaturally. God's taking care of manna every day. And, you know, and man, and they're like, oh, this old manna, oh, man, I'm so tired of this manna, you know, and just on and on. But I have a feeling that Caleb had another spirit. And what are we having tonight? We're having manna. Manna, I love manna. You know, and you don't want your manna? I'll take your manna. You know, and just he's just excited about the things that God provides for him. And you know, now think about this. How many of you have ever been in a desert, a really, really hot of a desert? Oh, isn't it? It is consuming, isn't it? The heat is just consuming. I mean, it pulls the moisture right out. You're just like, you know, it is so hot. In the desert, it's kind of like being in the oven. So if you don't know what the desert did, set the oven on 350 and crawl in. It's about the desert could be. And so there you are, you're in a desert. But you know, they're experiencing thirst. And then Caleb got to see the rock open up. I don't believe this was a tiny, dinky little rock. I don't know if I've seen it. I take credit that I think I have, but there's a place out there, there's a great big huge rock, black and split, and I say to my little heart, I say, that's it. that's where that rock gave out water. It wasn't just a little water, it was floods of water. I was gonna tell you oodles, but you may not know what that is. Oodles of water. You know, just come gushing out of that rock. Just river of water coming out. And I think Caleb was just there like, but other people, you know, that daily grind. Oh, a little man, a little drink of water. I think Caleb, though, I think every day Caleb would go to that rock and get a drink. I think he was fascinated, and he stayed and thrilled with the things that God was giving him. Listen, I'm going to compare something. The daily grind of life. You know, seems to me we spend a whole lot, we eat, we sleep, we work, and we work to have fun, and it just about kills us to have fun because we need sleep. And the daily grind of get up, you know, clock in, do your work, clock out, you do the same thing. Sometimes if you're in a factory, and I've been on jobs where I remember having a job and teaching ladies how to put screws in drawers. Mac toolbox drawer. Yeah. I like them. Anyway, you know, all day long, here's what they do. They pick up a screw, and they have a little zip gun. It's an air gun. And they go zzz, and they put a handle on a drawer. Zzz, 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 zzz. 8 hours a day. Zzz, zzz. I was a foreman. I put guys on there 3-4 hours in, all of a sudden the drawer line stopped. It's jamming up. Guys throwing drawers around. Ladies all day long pick up little screw. Guys going nuts doing that job. Going nuts doing that job. So, you know, a daily routine is not an easy thing. You know what, you know, it happens. And people in that grind, they get kind of burnt out. And they don't want to do it any longer. They look for something else. Somehow the grass is greener in another factory. And you go over there and you find that's a routine. You know, life working is routine. Working is a routine. It can be a grind. Listen, Caleb lived through that grind. Are you following me? Are you getting it? He lived through the grind every day. He didn't lose the enthusiasm because it was 40 years in that desert doing the same thing, eating the same food, walking in the same place. I wonder how many times they you know, it's not that big. I wonder how many times they traveled to, oh, I've been here again. Let's put a little mark in the rock. Been by here. How many have ever been out in the woods and been lost? I remember one time, I shouldn't tell you this, I had children with me, and I said, when you go with me, we don't take trails, we make our own. I'm over in Loudonville. Have you ever been over there, Loudonville, Canoota? We make our own. The sun's going down, and I'm lost. Got these kids following me. I'm thinking, oh, where am I? I never planned on the sun going down, you know? I know east, north, east, southwest, as long as the sun's up. But you get in the forest, you can't tell which direction the sun is. I go to the top of the hill, I still can't see the sun. I'm not telling them. I still look like I know what I'm doing. I'm thinking, I'm going to be killed when I get back. But we found the trail and got out of there. So, make a long story short. But, you know, it's not easy in that wandering. Are you telling me? Are you listening? It's not easy in that wandering. That daily grind is not easy. It's not easy serving God in the daily grind. And if you're just waiting for retirement, you know, retire, then I'm going to serve God because I'm going to have time. Oh, hey, all you guys retired, how's that working out? Yeah, you know, you just fill up your time with something else. You just find another project or something, or, you know, I don't know if the honeydew list off the refrigerator ever gets done. You know, I don't know. You know, there's always something. Men have vision. We're going to be involved in some things. Maybe you get to do some more things you like or something. But life is busy. And I'm saying to you that Caleb served God during the daily grind. He found time for God. Are you following me? So not only when you're young, but in that everyday grind that we seem to cut out, you know, we don't have time for God because, you know, there's school. We don't have time for God because there's college. We don't have time for God because there's career. We're just never going to find time for God. You know, that's that daily grind stuff. Are you following me? Now listen. So we got him when he was young. We got him in his middle age because for 40 years he was with them. And what we just read is we got him when he's 80. He's actually 85. Now, I didn't read it all, but I tell you, you can find it. He's 85 years old. It gives the exact age in there. So he's 85 now. And the Bible, if you look at some verses just before that text, you'll see that it says his strength didn't abate him. Now, I don't know. I've heard people write that off, but I claim that. I'd like to be at 85 with a lot of strength. How many would like to do that? 85 with a lot of zip. But now we got him at 85, and I want to tell you, listen to me really, really close. When he said, I want that mountain, do you understand what he is willing to pay? He is willing to pay the full price of everything that he's ever gained in 85 years. He's risking it all to go up and take on a mountain that's fenced in. It's a city. It's fenced in, and it's walled, and it has giants in it. And he is willing to lay it all on the line to take that mountain at 85. Wow. That's quite something. Have you ever heard of George Mueller? George Mueller. Now, I've patterned my life somewhat off of George Mueller and his biography. As a young Christian, I read the biography of George Mueller, and I was challenged that George Mueller got a lot done for God without being a beggar, without conning people, without telling people all of his needs. He went to God, and he asked God to supply his needs, and God wonderfully worked children's homes under George Mueller. I mean, there was times, testimony of George Mueller having children, they don't have anything to eat, and they're going to have prayer for the food that they're about to have. I mean, I read that in their biography. Here, they're going to have prayer. They said, where do I get the food? God's going to have to supply. So they ask the blessing. They knock on the door, and hear somebody in their children's home knock on the door and brings them their food that very instant. George Mueller was a great man of faith. George Mueller decided at 70 years old, how many are 70? 70 above? So at 70 years old, he decided that he's going to have to give up the pastorate. He said, you know, it's time for me to move on to something else. So what he did is he moved on to missions. He decided to move. He said, you know, I always wanted to work missions. So at 70, and this was encouraging to me, at 70, he says, I'm going to get into missions. I'm going to go to missions. And now, and at 70 years old, you know what he did? He traveled. After 70, he traveled. He preached like five times a week. And he traveled in his life, after 70, 200,000 miles. Now listen, this is before a day of jet plane like we have. That's many, many miles. At 90 years old, if I went back to my notes, I'd get the exact date, but I believe it was 91 years old. At 91 years old, here's what he said. He said, I've never been happier. He did say this. He said, I'm coming to the end of my road. I'm about to move on, and I've never been happier. Wow. You know, some of these folks that we talk about, our heroes, many of them, though, they didn't stop serving God because they retired. They just kept on going. Are you following me? Until God told them to go. A lot of times people say, where are you going to retire? Well, I do think you have to use some wisdom. You have to slow down. I remember heard of Don Green up in Lansing, Michigan. Anybody hear Don Green? Don Green, he's up in his 80s, and his son's just coming to help him now. Told us he's still going to pastor the church. He's in his 80s, still going to pastor the church. But he said, I'm slowing down a little bit. I need some help. Now, how many think that's fair at 80 to say that? You know, but look at it. I mean, if you know anything about the Greens, they've been through all kinds of heartache in their life. Brother Don's been through just a lot of difficulty. One of them was not just too long ago, losing his daughter. Green became a Gray. Mary Gray was his daughter. And lost a son. And just, you know, the difficulties in his life. But he just keeps plugging away. William Carey. How many have heard of William Carey? A great missionary, William Carey. Some contribute him to be the founder of missions. Well, you know what he said? He said, you know, I don't get a lot done, but I'm a plotter. What that means is I just keep working at it. And he just kept going all right until God took him home. He couldn't go real fast, but he just kept going. He just kept plotting away, kept at it. I say all that for this. You know, in every segment of our life, we probably have some kind of reasoning, some kind of excuse why we can't serve God. But as I said in the beginning, we're responsible for ourselves. It's time that we realize and quit giving excuses. If you're young, you can't serve God because your parents didn't serve God. Or you know, your dad left you, or your mom died, or you know, your sister hurt your feelings or something. You know, something happened to you young. Somewhere in life, you got to throw that stuff away and say, you know what? God is better than that. And just get up and serve God. Maybe you've been divorced 20 times. What a mess you are. It's time you just drive a stake and start over. Obviously, that's not working. And so you drive a stake. You say, well, from here on, I'm going to do something for God. But I'm not just going to park. And give the devil a fit and get up and just live for God. The Bible said he wholly followed God. Hey, I wonder what we could get done in America. If we would determine to wholly follow God. Stand with me, please.